Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, Pete. Welcome back. Are you well?
I am. I'm okay, thank you. Welcome back, yes. Welcome back, one and all.
Well, I said welcome back to you there, as if we've been away for more than a week, which we haven't. But we haven't spoken for over a week because of your... Yeah. Grueling exercise-based schedule. So if you didn't listen to the last episode of the podcast, Pete has spent the last week running 5 half marathons in 5 days, which is insane. Yeah. And now you've done it. It's done. It's completed.
It's actually done, yeah. I actually successfully did it. Like, a couple of little injuries, but I'm happy with that because I'm no longer under pressure to train for anything ridiculous, so injuries are fine.
But you're recovered now, are you?
Yes, I am, and I am ready to tackle another episode of Friends.
Happy day. So Friends with Friends is the podcast where we invite our friends on to talk about their favourite episode of Friends. Now, I feel like we're on a bit of a roll here, Pete, because last week we had my housemate, my flatmate, my apartment mate, if you are talking in Friends terms. This week, we've gone one step further. But it's my other halves on the podcast this week, Pete. This is Rachel Head.
I know, we're really getting personal, aren't we? Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Pete.
Welcome along. So talk to me about, so this is one of those things where we lay out the pretense that Rachel and I have never spoken about this, as if I'm interviewing you for a podcast. We've obviously spoken about this in the past, but tell us about, and tell Pete, because you guys haven't met before, tell Pete about your relationship with Friends. Are you a long-time Friends watcher? Are you a recent convert?
Yeah, a long time. It's just going to be very similar to what other people have said in that Friends is just something that you watch as a child and that becomes a big part of your life. But last week when I was listening to Cornelius's, I remembered that I also only remember watching the last season of Friends.
Live on television.
Like live on television.
As it happened.
Yeah. Like I remember all the reruns of every other season, but the last one was one that we all gathered around to watch every episode. And it had one of the most, you know, when something just haunts you for its sort of embarrassing... That's just like an embarrassing moment that's stuck in your brain forever. Is like, that's sort of how I remember a lot of the lines of Friends that I would then repeat, not knowing what they meant.
Right.
And it like haunts me.
How old were you when the last season of Friends was on?
10, 11? Well, young. But like there was an episode and this was during the last ever episode of Friends that was being aired. And for some reason, Phil, my stepdad's parents were down. And do you remember the episode of Friends where Chandler wants to give up smoking?
Mm.
And he says the line, someone says, oh, you should go for a nice walk. And he says, oh, I'm alive with pleasure now. And I didn't know that was like a weird thing to say. And in my head, I was like, I can say that when it's something I don't want to do. And I said that, like, my Phil's parents said something to me, like, when we were in the room by ourselves, they were like, why don't you do this? And I went, ooh, I'm alive with pleasure now. And I look back on that as one of the most embarrassing things I've ever said to anybody ever.
Well, the good thing is you can claim you didn't originate the line.
No.
You didn't write it.
They looked shell-shocked, though.
I'm alive with pleasure now. Not a good thing for a 10-year-old to say to their stepdad's parents.
No, it was awful. And then I said it again, like, a few months later in front of my mother and shook me to one side and explained, well, I should never say that to anybody ever again.
All right, tell us about the episode you've chosen for Friends with Friends then, please.
Yeah, I have chosen the one that was like, not, I don't even think it's my favourite, but it's the one that came into my head quickest because I have watched it the most and maybe just loved it the most when I was younger, which is the one where Eddie won't go.
The one where Eddie won't go. Season 2, episode 19. Shall we begin, Pete, in traditional fashion with me reading out a hastily Googled Wikipedia synopsis of the episode?
Yeah, get your synopsis out. Let's do this.
Get your synopsis out for the podcast listeners. Season 2, episode 19. The one where Eddie won't go. Directed by Pete. I won't need to, you know, you won't need more clues than that.
Directed by, of course. Oh, it's slipped my mind.
It's It's Michael Lembeck again.
Michael!
It's our old friend Michael Lembeck, who's the only director we've thus far discussed on Friends with Friends. This came out in 1996. Here's the synopsis. Creeped out by his bizarre new roommate Eddie, Chandler demands he move out. Eddie agrees, but doesn't move out, nor does he even remember the conversation. Oh my days. I just honestly hadn't read ahead of the synopsis. And this immediately flags up, I'd say, what is going to be a major part of the discussion of this episode. So let me tell you exactly what Wikipedia says in a very matter-of-fact way. Eddie agrees but doesn't move out, nor does he even remember the conversation because he's obviously mentally ill.
Oh, no way does it say that. That's amazing.
It does. Instead, he imagines he and Chandler took a trip to Las Vegas and believes nothing else to have ever really happened. Joey, meanwhile, has trouble coming to grips with the death of Dr. Amore and the accompanying change in his lifestyle. And a new book on empowerment for women inspires the female friends to have a, in inverted commas, goddess meeting. Joey then moves back in with Chandler and they kick Eddie out by convincing him he never lived there in the first place. So that's the synopsis. A lot happens in this episode.
Terrible things that they've said. I mean, this is, when watching this back, I was so convinced it was like a really fun, interesting, sort of like quirky episode. And then I was like, this is genuinely terrible. And they are awful.
Yeah, this has been a sort of theme of the podcast, hasn't it, since day one, Pete? They're like, are the friends really that good, people? Are we convinced they're all right? But let's attack. So there's three storylines. We're back to the sort of traditional A plot, B plot, C plot in this. There are three storylines. There's the Eddie storyline. There's the girls and their book storyline. And then the storyline that I've entitled Joey's New Hat, which I think maybe is the best one to start with.
Also, only now has it occurred to me that the hat sort of figures in the opening scene that Joey's in and then just stops being a thing.
I don't understand. And that was in my notes as well. I was like, why is the hat?
Yeah.
Like, why is the hat?
It feels so. All I could think of was that they couldn't think of a way to start Joey's storyline. And they were like, hey, guys, what's Joey going to do this week? How about he gets a new hat?
He does it with that bag as well in a later series as well, doesn't he? He gets that bag. Why? it's a really strange, un-Joey-like thing for him to do once, let alone twice.
That's true. Actually, and when he gets the bag, it's almost the identical scene, isn't it? He walks into almost the same position in the coffee shop with his new bag. And sort of goes, I've got a new bag, and this one is, I've got a new hat.
And he takes it to he wears the hat to the audition and takes the bag to the audition as well.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the bag means, a man carrying a bag means that you don't get cast in a role, which
that's the same. It's the same story twice, isn't it? Well, they've just reused that pretty much, like, that whole weird thing.
That's such a good point. That's literally the mirror plotline, isn't it? Yeah. He gets a new item of clothing that people mock him for, and then he takes it to an audition and doesn't get the part. But in this case, he's just been killed off, hasn't he, on Days of Our Lives.
Falls down an elevator shaft.
Falls down an elevator shaft. He's dead. He's got his new apartment. He's got all his animals. We'll come to those in a second. And it turns out he's got to start auditioning for other stuff. And the first audition he gets invited to is cab driver number 2 on Another World.
Yeah.
So he goes in. And to say this audition is bad is an understatement.
He tries to make the point that he's a big deal, doesn't he? He makes the thing about the paper he was sent his scripts on for Days of Our Lives was better. It's like really clutching at straws to kind of prove himself.
Well, and then he repeatedly gets the words wrong.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak correctly multiple times.
He's really struggling with the transition, isn't he? From sort of what I can only imagine is. So if you translate this to the real world, okay. If I said to either of you, name a Hollywood actor that's American, you could name like 50 of them. If I said to either of you now, name me an American soap star.
Yeah, like that bloke from ER, that'd be about it.
Right. So realistically, he's not a massive star, is he? He's like a daytime TV level of fame. He's not exactly Clooney.
No, and he gets nominated for a soapy, but Doesn't win.
Yeah, he's nominated, not a winner.
Although I do think it's partly like in human nature, like if you were unfortunate enough to lose your job, there would be certain jobs that you, in at least initially, thought that you were slightly above, and then later had to accept that, you know, you just got to do it to pay the bills. Like, I can kind of understand Joey's immediate reaction there.
Yeah, and he's not happy about going for this audition as the cab driver number two. But his audition does not paint him in the best light, does it? I mean, he can't read basic words.
Yeah, and he can't, like, you know when your brain does that thing where it fills in the word even if it's, say, a little bit smudged?
Yeah.
Or someone spelt it slightly incorrectly. Like, your brain just fills in what that word should be, and he is incapable of seeing that. Like,
yeah, yeah. So the line is something about, oh, we should have taken the bridge.
Budge, yeah.
And he says, budge.
Yeah.
I mean, budge isn't even a word.
It's not a thing.
No.
It's going to cost you about so bucks.
That's going to cost you about so bucks. I mean, yeah, you're right in the sense that even if, for argument's sake, let's say the fax paper they get it sent over is really smudged, you could give it a fairly good guess, couldn't you? And this is only season two. So actually, Pete, in our timeline of how stupid is Joey, not very stupid yet.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's still reasonably sort of sensible, isn't he, in the first couple ones. So, yeah, maybe this is the start.
Yeah. So he doesn't get the auditions, but that's part of the plotline that Joey's involved in. The second half of it involves his sort of new house and his weird porcelain
safari.
Wildlife safari thing.
I'm utterly, like, baffled by the... So Joey, for the first time, presumably, like he does say in the previous episode, like, I've never lived on my own. Like, I'm almost certain I've never lived on my own. And then he lives by himself. And the first thing he does is go out and buy ceramic animals to surround himself with. No wonder you've never been able to live by yourself. Like, no one's allowed you to.
You're not allowed to be trusted to live by yourself. I mean, when you first live by yourself, Pete, I don't know if you remember the first time you lived by yourself, but you sort of just exist, don't you? You move into a place and go... Oh,
yeah, you just, like, rattle around a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, often you don't even have the right furniture or crockery or glasses. You know, you don't have enough of the normal everyday stuff to cope with an everyday situation. But to then go, not only have I got all the stuff I need, but I'm going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on ceramic animals.
And a 3D Last Supper. Yeah, let's not forget.
3D Last Supper.
Also, one of my favourite moments in this whole episode involves one of the ceramic animals, and it's where Ross very kindly offers to pay for one of them to
the
keep
parrot.
It, to stop it getting taken away. And Ross slaps this ceramic dog on the arse with his wallet, and it's just like that's how he's sort of claiming ownership of it. And it's a really, really, I don't know why, but that's one of the things that I remember about the episode, is the way that he slaps that dog's arse with his wallet.
I think this is a really pleasing like sort of snap. I think it's his checkbook rather than his
wallet.
Like, has a really pleasing sort of like snap to it. That stuck in my head.
Actually, while you're talking about Ross, I think this is quite a good episode for Ross. And I think in the interest of balance, we should really flag these up, because I'd say, well, this is episode 13 of our podcast, Pete. We've analysed so far 12 episodes of Friends, and at least 10 of them have been filed under the headline, Ross is insane. What is wrong with Ross?
No, he's a very logical man in this episode.
Yeah, and in this episode, not only is, and we'll come on to the Be Your Own Windkeeper book shortly, and how he reacts to that, but actually, he's being a very good friend to Joey. What, you know?
Yeah.
He's gone $200 he's willing to spend on his friend's idiotic ceramic animal hobby.
I also find their conversation when Joey doesn't react well to Ross sort of being realistic and saying, look, you really need to rein this in, you're in, you know, you've dug yourself a deep hole.
Yeah.
I find that conversation quite interesting in terms of the way it paints that sort of friendship, because Joey just wants someone to say, yeah, you're right, your current situation is really bad, and yeah, I agree, isn't that, yeah, God, isn't everything awful? And Ross's attitude is to try and be supportive, but by being realistic. And I think those two differences and the way that those two people, like, they're clearly very good mates, but they have really different reactions to the same situation. I think that's one of the most interesting things about that episode and that dynamic as well.
And I think Ross is like one of the few times where we see balanced, stable Ross.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
do you know what? Someone needs to have this conversation with you, clearly, because you've been left on your own for like a matter of weeks. I mean, not long.
Days?
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
And you've gone insane and you don't know how to manage your money. And like, how about we talk about this like grown-ups? And he is oddly demonized for then trying to be reasonable about what's happening, and I'm on Ross's side.
Yeah, and there's the bit right at the end of the episode, isn't there, where they realise that the dog looks stupid on its own in Joey and Chandler's apartment again. And not one point do they go, do you know what? That was so nice of Ross. Like, what a bloody great lad he was. He forked out $200 for this thing. They're just going, oh, feel a bit stupid with this dog now.
No, and he comes back and he's like, I can't tell you how much I respect you for what, for holding out. And actually,
yeah, that's another nice thing he does.
Yeah, whereas he clearly doesn't. Because that's a stupid thing to do.
It's very hard to respect Joey in any of the current situations, isn't it? Okay, let's move on to Be Your Own Windkeeper. This is the empowering...
Kind of like The Hobbit.
Kind of like The Hobbit, yeah. That's a good point, actually. I, with a quick scan of my memory, could only think of 4 books that had ever been mentioned in Friends... And Be Your Own Windkeeper, which I assume, do you know what? I've not even checked it out.
It's not.
I assume it's fictional.
It is a fictional book.
It is a fictional book. Is one of the only 4 books, I think, that have been referenced in Friends.
Wait, what we got? We've got
Little Women.
The Shining.
And The Shining, both in the same episode.
Be Your Own Windkeeper and...
And The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
In this episode. Oh, yeah. I can't remember literature ever being a subject in Friends at all apart from that. I'm sure someone will tweet us and tell us otherwise. At Friends WF.
Can't think at all. Or that book that makes people cry in one time in like series 9 or 10 or something.
Oh, what, Chandler Can't Cry?
Yeah. And then he's reading that book. Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Chicken Soup for the Soul. Wow, that is real good.
Oh, I've just remembered another book. Rachel's Really Adult Book, which Joey finds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the erotic literature. But again, that's a fictional one as well, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's not a heavy literature-based series, 240-odd episodes and 7 books maybe mentioned at any point. So this is an empowering book that Monica and Phoebe have read. They come into the coffee house and they're like, hey, Rachel, you should read this book.
I mean, well, they don't even. I mean, they're talking about it. Also, how the 3 of them spend so much time together. How has it not come up all the time that they've both been reading it that Rachel has heard of?
Well, this is one of the weird things, isn't it, actually? The timeline of the reading of the book. So it's implied that Monica and Phoebe have been reading this for a few days, weeks, whatever, in the normal amount of time it takes to read a book. In this episode, they tell Rachel about the book. They cuts away to a scene with Joey and Estelle talking about the Another World audition. And then 2 minutes later, it cuts back to Rachel going,
yeah, she's really overwhelmed.
I've just finished the book. And Phoebe and Monica have apparently just sat on the sofa and watched her read an entire book in the course of an hour or whatever and just gone, you better bloody read this now, Rachel Green, because we are going to sit here and watch you and not talk about anything else until you've finished it. And she's read the entire book very quickly.
I love how they paint a really good picture of what this book is about and the language of it all by the bits that they quote. Like, you only hear like a handful of quotes from that book, but you can already like kind of get what the whole theme of the whole thing is just based on what they quote. And there are some brilliant, brilliant lines as well.
Well, like, I mean, this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, that some of my most embarrassing things have come from Friend episodes, because that line where Rachel quotes to Ross, how do you expect me to grow if you won't let me blow?
Yeah.
It just baffled me as a younger child, and I did not know what that act was. Is that a euphemistic
And another great
way?
Ross moment, like his reaction to it is brilliant in this as well.
I just don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Rachel said something to me earlier about what she used to think that line meant, and I feel like she's evaded it and sidestepped it in the podcast recording, but I'm going to make her say, what did you think blowing meant?
I thought a job of that description meant that you would just blow gently upon the apparatus.
What she said is she thought at that age that it meant the man blowing gently... some air onto the woman's crotch.
Yeah.
That's what she thought blowing was.
Like, I was 10 and it was understandable that you don't know. It just seemed like a reasonable... I just don't understand. And do you know what? To this day, I'm going to call it. I still don't really get why they call it a blow job then. I mean, are you blowing? Or maybe I've been doing it wrong.
It is a misnomer, isn't it? It doesn't do what it says in the tin, certainly.
I've gone very red.
Yeah. It's probably the most embarrassing moment of Friends with Friends so far.
I'm going to get my mum to listen to this as
well. So Ross comes in, doesn't he? After they've read the book, they're all up in arms. They're all empowered. The forest of our righteous truths and all the bits and bobs.
A terrible way to describe. A
lot of sex. Terrible euphemisms, yeah. And metaphors and all of that sort of stuff. And then again, Ross comes in and for once isn't mad and sort of just goes, should we go to the movies? And he does that slightly sarcastic line about, it's the movies that keep the schedule so you don't miss the beginning, where you're like, oh, right,
yeah.
It's a bit of a dick line, but that's fine. But realistically, what's actually happened, if you look at it from the perspective of Ross, he's walked into the coffee house to meet his girlfriend for a date and gone, should we go to the movie? And she's basically gone, no, we are not going out tonight, without any context. And he's gone, oh, okay, cool, you okay then? And she's just gone, we're not going, I need some time to myself. Based on this book she's just read. Poor old Ross, for once.
Yeah. He also, Joey gets criticised as well, doesn't he? Just by association, by the fact that he's there, because Phoebe criticises Joey for, I think, what she describes as holding a phallic-shaped man cake.
That's exactly
it,
yeah.
Well, this is the second appearance in this podcast of the famed cruller. The donut-shaped sort of thing that we don't really understand what it is because we don't have them here. But he comes across and goes, does anyone want a cruller? I still don't really know what a cruller is.
I thought he said a crowin.
Cruller. C-R-U-E-L-L-E-R.
Even in this episode? Yeah. Is it not a crowin?
What's a crowin?
A long dough stick.
All right, well, I'm going to...
Well, I'm just saying that because that's what I've saw.
A long dough stick.
Okay, but that's what Joey's holding, isn't it?
I'm Googling crowin, and crowin is a village in Cornwall.
Classic.
And then I'm going to go with cruller.
That'll be it. That'll be what he means.
And a cruller is a traditional fried pastry often made from a rectangle of dough. So
all right, well, it can't all be winners,
it's a
guys.
Cruller. But yeah, it's one of those Americanisms, isn't it, that hasn't quite translated over here, a cruller. But it gets referenced in Friends quite a lot.
Rule of Three, a podcast presented by me, Joel Morris.
And me, Jason Hazley.
In which we talk to people who make comedy.
About the films.
And TV.
And books.
And records.
And comics.
And people.
That make them laugh.
She doesn't want people having a go at Martin, even though she can. And that's true of, I mean, most of my friends are idiots, but they're my friends.
Yeah. I never really understood what Han Solo did for a job.
You don't need to know anything more than, like, he's just sobbing while being punched in the balls.
They were just trying to make each other laugh in the office. You have to show a certain amount of contempt for your audience.
Write your own jokes in the morning, you lazy bastard.
Follow us on Twitter at Rule of Three Pod.
Rule of Three.
Available now from all good podcastiers.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should we talk about Eddie?
Yes.
Oh, there's so much to unpick here, isn't there? I mean, my first takeaway really is, what is the act of dehydrating fruits? I don't know what it is. I've never known anyone to do it.
No, I didn't look that up. But I know that when you get dry, I know you just buy dried fruit to eat.
Right.
But I don't know what that, he just had a series of plates, didn't he? Almost stacked plates with gas.
So there's sun-dried tomatoes, which obviously is what they are. And then there's dried fruits and you get, you can buy dried fruits in the supermarket.
Yeah.
But I've never known anyone to have the apparatus to actually...
I mean, why would you bother? Why would you bother doing it yourself?
They're about a quid in Sainsbury's. Why would you dehydrate the fruit yourself?
You've never known a dehydrating maniac before.
Thing is, because Eddie's been in a couple of episodes before this one, hasn't he? Because there's the episode where he seems to think that Chandler's got with his ex.
Tilly.
And then there's the episode where he moves in, of course. Tilly, of course. So in the first episode, he's a little bit cold with Chandler, isn't he? They don't instantly click and then eventually they get on a little bit better. But Eddie manages to conceal the fact that he is quite literally insane very well in that first episode,
right.
And then it all comes tumbling out.
But it comes tumbling out so quickly, doesn't it? The first episode, normal but a bit weird. And
not even weird, just a bit reserved.
Yeah.
And then the second episode, it's wait, did you have sex with my ex-girlfriend? And then the third episode, I'm... clearly bipolar.
Yeah.
I'm a manic depressive.
Watching him sleep and all sorts.
So that's how the episode starts, isn't it? Chandler wakes up, Eddie's watching him sleep. And it's a kind of another curious open to... most Friends episodes start with a little sting and the jollity and the oh, here's a fun bit. And this is another one. I think the one we discussed last week where the cockerel crowed. But there's another one where it's a very eerie, quiet opening to an episode of Friends and it just sort of a tracking shot across Chandler's bed. And then we find out that Eddie's been watching him sleep. And there's a really strange moment in the cold open that I don't know if either of you noticed, where Chandler says, and this is one of those things where I think, is the audience laughing at the jokes? Or are they just laughing at the rhythm of the speech?
Can I guess
what it is for me?
Yeah, go on. Is it Hannibal Lecter?
Right, yeah.
Right!
So there's a really strange bit where Chandler goes, Hannibal Lecter, and the audience laughs. And the joke is, Hannibal Lecter is a better roommate than you. But he hasn't done the joke. He's just done it in his Matthew Perry sort of rhythm. Or Rachel Pete, for the record, Rachel is pointing at a bit of her notes, which says, Hannibal Lecter, why are they laughing before he delivers the joke? But yeah,
Guys,
he goes...
You two are so well suited.
But he does. He goes, Hannibal Lecter, better roommate than you. That's what should have happened. And then a laugh. But what actually happens is he goes, Hannibal Lecter? And then they all just go, ha 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 ha.
Right. It's what are you laughing at?
Yeah.
And I think that happens so often.
You just assume it's something you should be laughing at, yeah.
Just before we move on from this scene, there's the bit, I just want to say, when Eddie leaves the room, he opens the door to a room that is not their front room.
In my notes, I've written the layout of Chandler's room, the position of the windows bothers me. It doesn't feel like it fits with the assumed geography of that flat.
It doesn't. And Eddie opens the door to a corridor. It's
really?
A corridor.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't notice that. And so, hang on, Pete, the windows are in the wrong place and then...
I feel like the angle that you see Chandler at sleeping in his bed, Chandler's room isn't a room that you see very often anyway.
No.
I think there's a couple of bits once he's moved in with Monica. But then the windows are almost to the left of where in my head they would be. So there must be a wall that doesn't have any... an exterior wall in his room that doesn't have any windows in, if that makes sense.
Wow. And then the door opens and it's into a corridor.
Yeah,
the
door opens into a corridor.
That is the sort of trivia we really relish on this podcast.
It's bad flat geography.
I can't tell you how thrilled I was when I spotted it.
And then, so generally across the episode, we see Eddie becoming more and more insane. He comes back with that mannequin head. He doesn't remember what happened yesterday. He thinks they went to Las Vegas. And it's all unfolding more and more and more that Eddie has a serious mental illness.
It's so awful that is not imagine if you did that now, or imagine if just somebody started acting like that. You'd be like, hey,
you okay?
Do you need help?
Yeah. And
it's actually quite dark.
Yeah, it's really troubling on many levels that the sort of comical ending to the episode is that Joey and Chandler effectively make a mentally ill man homeless. They render him homeless by virtue of the fact that they want to live together again, and they pretend he never lived there, playing on his mental illness. He is then, where does he go? Where does he go when he leaves?
And also, the audience applaud. When Eddie is locked out and they see that Joey is now living there, everyone claps.
But it's like a slightly sort of hesitant clap as well, isn't it? It's like, yay.
This is cool, isn't it?
And Joey does this weird hello as well, which feels quite unnatural.
Yeah.
Hello.
That whole bit's really weirdly set
hello.
Up. Because if Chandler was genuinely pretending to Eddie that Joey had just always lived there and, you know, he'd never been actually a resident at that flat, you wouldn't set that up. So Joey does a sort of game show spin around and goes, hello, welcome, this is Joey Tribbiani. So they send Eddie off. His stuff's downstairs. It's kind of dark and upsetting when you watch it back going, where's Eddie going to go tonight, guys? He's got a whole apartment's worth of stuff.
There's also, did you know, and I've checked, this isn't in the lightning round at the end, so I'm not giving away a question here. Did you notice what Eddie is holding when he goes back to the flat?
Yeah.
What is that?
To discover that Joey's moved in.
Right. Like
he's holding a bin lid and a fake parrot.
Yeah.
Where's the bin lid come from? Where's he been? What's happening?
But it looks like Chandler's thrown his stuff into the bin.
Yeah.
And he's picked up the lid, seen his stuff is in there, obviously collected the item he treasures most, which is that fake parrot, and then comes upstairs to confront him, still holding the bin lid and the parrot. How sad is
that? That's already a much more rational explanation than I had in my head. I was what a strange choice of two props to have. But it would make sense that perhaps he's found his stuff in a bin. But I don't know, that's a big assumption that they're expecting the people watching to be able to make.
Should we do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
All right.
Quiz time.
I'm not ready, guys.
This is the lightning round. These are five questions that we ask at the end of every episode to test your sort of attention to detail in the episode that you have picked and therefore watched back. These are little bits that we probably haven't talked about so far. Shall we kick off, Pete, with question one? Here we go. We learned that Gunther was once in a soap opera. Which soap was he in? It's a three-part question. Which soap was he in? What was the name of his character? And how did the character die?
Okay. He was Bryce in All My Children.
Correct.
And he was killed by an avalanche.
He was buried in an avalanche.
All right, that killed him.
Yes, correct. Good. Correct. One out of one.
That was very comprehensively answered, wasn't it?
I'm really nervous.
Which dehydrated food item does Eddie say is one for the display?
It's a tomato. Is it a tomato? Is it a tomato?
It is a tomato. Well done.
I had to do it in a fake accent to remember.
A fake accent or an American accent? But Americans are famously real.
All right, but my accent was incredibly fake.
Question three. Joey spends $1,100 at a particular store whilst furnishing his apartment. What is the name of that store?
I Love Lucite.
It is indeed. I Love Lucite.
You're doing very well here. You shouldn't have been nervous.
This isn't part of the quiz, but do you know where he spent $3,500 and $2,300?
Isn't it Chromantic?
That's $2,300. Where did he spend $3,500?
This isn't part of the quiz, right?
No.
I don't know.
Portland Safari.
Oh, boo. I knew that.
Three out of three so far, though. Pete, question four.
Question four. What is the book's euphemism for sex?
The Forest of Righteous Truth, isn't it? Like you enter her Forest of Righteous Truth.
There,
God, that
we'll give you that. Entering
the forest of my righteous truth.
Four out of four. Okay, question number five. And I will flag up that this is a really good episode for the lightning round, and I've discarded at least two other questions, which we could ask as bonus questions at the end. But this
we'll see how we do.
Five out of five in the actual lightning round. Name three of the five words that Joey learns from his word of the day toilet paper.
Okay. Jaunty.
Jaunty.
Cachet. Pedantic.
That's three.
Try and name the other two.
Condescending.
You don't have to be so condescending and pedantic. Oh, I can't think of the
it's
other one.
It's a similar meaning word.
Right, I know. It's like at the end, like, you have to be so...
Sorry, that ironically was quite condescending.
God, be all more right, jaunty.
Well, yeah, Ross. I can't think of what it is.
Judgmental.
Ugh. As if he needed toilet paper for that word.
Right, yeah. I feel like jaunty
she
is
said,
also...
She said judgmentally.
You've done yourself proud there.
That's 5 out of 5, though, of the actual lightning round. Yes. If you would like to continue the challenge, I have 2 additional questions.
I'd like to know whether I can answer them.
What's on Gunther's tie?
A subway map.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even notice that. No. And I always keep a lookout for potential questions.
It is a map of the New York subway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. I paused that shit. Like,
that's 6 out of 6. You're not going to get number 7, I don't think. What number is Joey's new apartment?
22G.
That's astonishing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's...
That's astonishing.
It was so pleasing to be able to look you in the eye and say that without hesitation. I can't tell you.
I honestly... Oh, wow.
Are there any more facts about this episode you want to give us? Because it seems like you know absolutely everything.
Do you know what my favourite thing was? Is the open-mouthed trout that he had in his apartment that is, like, never referenced. Like, lots of the animals are sort of talked about in the 3D Last Supper. But he's got, like, just an open-mouthed trout in the background. It's, like, just something that... Anyway, that's probably it. I feel like I shouldn't go into more detail. I do also have a job and a life.
Yeah, it's debatable at this stage. Rachel, thank you very much for joining us on Friends with Friends.
Thanks, babe.
Are you saying talk to me or Pete?
Well, I was talking to Pete, but I can also talk to you. Thank you very much, David Cribb. Thank you, Pete Allison, for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. You've really done your episode proud. You've done it justice.
That's the end of this episode of Friends with Friends. We shall be back next week for another episode of Friends with Friends. Stay tuned for the bit after the music. It's good that we trail that now. Here's the music. Hello, we're still here. Here's what's happened. We'll level with you here on the podcast. The first sort of 10 or 11 episodes, we could always tell you what was coming next because we'd recorded loads in advance. Now
we were more organised.
We were organised, Pete, weren't we? Now we're recording on a week-by-week basis, so it's often hard to tell what the next episode is. But fear ye not, at some point in the next few days, we will put it on our Twitter, and this is a great chance to plug our Twitter, Pete, which is at FriendsWF, Friends with Friends, FriendsWF on Twitter, and you can go on that, A, follow us, please, because ideal, and B, we'll put on the next episode for next week's in the next few days once we have confirmed that with next week's friend. How's that suit, Pete?
That sounds good. All we need to do now is just find a friend.
Find a friend. Hey, you can also follow us both on Twitter. I'm at Dave Cribb, C-R-I-B-B. And you are?
I am Pete_Allison. Allison with 2 L's.
Allison with 2 L's, not like the name, the forename.
Although you can get some forename. That's a really boring sentence that I'm not even going
to
finish.
I was going to say, I'll just cut out my bit of that as well because it was a pointless thing to flag up. At Pete_Allison. Find us on Friends on Twitter. Yeah, find us on Twitter. Come and say hello. And we'll post on our Friends with Friends Twitter in the next few days what next week's episode is, and we hope, dear listener, that you join us then. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.